Scripture reading this morning comes from Joshua chapter 5, verses 13, and we're going to read through chapter 6, and we're going to read about battle of Jericho that we just heard about. Verse 13, chapter 5 says, "When Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing before him with his drawn sword in hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, 'Are you for us or for our adversaries?' And he said, 'No, but I am the commander of the army of the Lord. Now I have come.' And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, 'What does my Lord say to his servant?' And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, 'Take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy.' And Joshua did so. Now Jericho was shut up inside and outside because of the people of Israel. None went out, none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all the men of war going around the city once. Thus shall you do for 6 days. 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. On the 7th day, you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, then all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, everyone straight before him. So Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, 'Take up the Ark of the Covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord.' And he said to the people, 'Go forward, march around the city, and let the armed men pass on before the ark of the Lord.' And just as Joshua had commanded the people, the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord went forward, blowing the trumpets, with the ark of the covenant of the Lord following them. The armed men were walking before the priests who were blowing the trumpets, and the rear guard was walking after the ark while the trumpets blew continually. But Joshua commanded the people, 'You shall not shout or make your voice heard, neither shall any word go out of your mouth until the day I tell you to shout. Then you shall shout.' So he caused the ark of the Lord to circle the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and spent the night in the camp. Thus Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord, and the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the covenant, or before the ark of the Lord, walked on, and they blew the trumpets continually, and the armed men were walking before them, and the rear guard was walking after the ark of the Lord while the trumpets blew continually. And the second day they marched around the city once, and they returned to the camp. They did for 6 days. On the 7th day, they rose early at the dawn of the day and marched around the city in the same manner 7 times. It was only on that day that they marched around the city 7 times. And at the 7th time, when the priest had blown the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, 'Shout, for the Lord has given you the city, and the city and all that is within it shall be devoted to the Lord for destruction. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall live, because she hid the messengers whom you sent. But you, keep yourselves from the things devoted to destruction, lest when you have devoted them, you take them any devoted things and make the camp of Israel a thing for destruction and bring trouble upon it. But all silver and gold and every vessel of bronze and iron are holy to the Lord. They shall go into the treasury of the Lord.' So the people shouted, and the trumpets were blown. As the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they captured the city. Then they devoted all in the city to destruction, both men and women, young and old, oxen, sheep, and donkeys, with the edge of the sword. But to the 2 men who had spied out the land, Joshua said, 'Go into the prostitute's house, and bring out from there the woman and all who belong to her, as you swore to her.' So the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and brothers and all who belonged to her. And they brought out all her relatives and put them outside the camp of Israel. And they burned the city with fire and everything in it. Only the silver and gold and the vessels of bronze and of iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. But Rahab the prostitute and her father's household and all who belonged to her, Joshua saved alive. And she has lived in Israel to this day because she hid messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Joshua laid an oath on them at that time, saying, "Cursed before the Lord be the man who rises up and rebuild this city, Jericho. At the cost of his firstborn shall he lay its foundation, and at the cost of his youngest son shall he set up its gates." So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was in all the land. May God bless the reading of his word. You know, countries and cities are often known for their military power and strategy and different aspects of their military force. You know, when you think of the, you know, ancient Egyptians, you think of the chariots. When you think of the Mongols and Genghis Khan of the 1200s, you know, you think of their endurance, their mobility, their use of horses. When you think of the Ottoman Empire of the 1400s, you think of their innovative use of cannons and muskets. When you think of the military of England in the 18th and 19th centuries, you think of the powerful Royal Navy, right? And when you think of Nazi Germany in the mid-1900s, you think of the Blitzkrieg. And when you think of Jericho, you think of the walls, right? They're almost synonymous, you know, the word Jericho and the idea of building a wall around your city. You know, people have been using walls to protect their houses, their land, their livestock, and their cities for years. And Jericho was a stronghold surrounded by a well-fortified wall. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to make an obvious statement, but an important observation that I want us to consider as we walk through this passage. And that obvious statement is this: the wall has two sides. There are two sides to the wall, right? And so this morning, what I want us to consider is I want to consider, which side of the wall are we on? Now, before I go any further, let me say this. This sermon has nothing related to it regarding President Trump's agenda to build a wall, okay? So, that's not where I'm going, okay? So, that's not my agenda. I'm looking at the passage, trying to understand what it means and how it applies to us, okay? That's my motivation. So, with that said, let's look at the two sides of the wall. First, I want us to look at the wall from inside Jericho, okay, and what that represents. And then I want us to look at the wall from outside of Jericho, from the vantage point of the people of God. So let's first consider the wall from the inside. You know, there isn't much that is said in this passage about that perspective from the inside of the wall. But we do have one statement that I believe gives us some insight into their mindset. And this statement is found in verse 1. It says, "Now Jericho was shut up inside and outside because of the people of Israel. None went out and none came in." In other words, the city was on lockdown, right? No one was going out. No one was coming in. They had shut up the walls. And to understand why this city was on lockdown, you need to know what happened in the verses that came right before this. You know, several days prior to this, God miraculously held back the waters of the Jordan River for miles, so that the thousands of Israelites could pass over the Jordan River on dry ground. Now, they didn't have television stations back then. They didn't have Facebook and Twitter and Snapchat. They didn't have cell phones with cameras on it, on them. So, you know, news didn't travel as fast as it travels today. However, it did travel a little bit slower, but it did travel. And just think about this. Okay, God held back the waters of the Jordan River for miles and allowed the people to cross. Now, the Jordan River was the main water source of the region. And so surely there were some people close to the river that noticed, okay, the water stopped flowing for miles. Something's going on here. And they probably recognized the thousands of people that were crossing over the Jordan and moving into Gilgal. And so as the people crossed, as the water was being held back, I believe people obviously recognized that and began to share this news. And the people of God, you know, they crossed over, they camped at Gilgal, and then they stayed there for several days. And we know this because we learned last week that when they arrived at Gilgal, one of the things that God told Joshua to do was to circumcise all the men. And it says they stayed there until they healed. And so we know that took several days. And then after that, they celebrated the Passover feast. And so that obviously took some time. And so while all that was happening, news continued to spread about what God had done. Holding back the river, allowing his people to come through the river. And now they had camped at Gilgal. And even before this, back in chapter 2, if you remember, when we were studying about Rahab, Rahab tells the two spies that come into Jericho, we've heard about what God has done. We heard about how God parted the Red Sea, brought you all through the Red Sea from Egypt. We've heard about how he delivered the kings on the east side of the Jordan into your hands. And we've heard about all these things, which is what led Rahab to say, you know what, I want to be a part of the people of God. And so all this news has spread. And so we read in chapter 6, verse 1, now Jericho was shut up inside and outside because of the people of Israel. None went out, none came in. So why was the city shut up inside and outside? Was because of the people of Israel. Now, why did Jericho try to shut out the people of God? Well, you know why. Because they wanted to remain autonomous and independent. Right? They wanted to continue to live in the kingdom of their own making. They wanted to continue to worship gods of their own imagination. They didn't want to align themselves with the people of God, so they shut them out. I call verse 1 here Jericho's Rahab moment. This is their Rahab moment. I mean, they've heard about God, what he's done through the Red Sea, but also through the Jordan River. They've heard about what God has done for his people, and now his people are upon them, and they have a choice to make. Will they submit to God's rule and reign and surrender to Joshua, God's designated leader, or will they try to shut God out and fight against Joshua and the people? And obviously, we know what happens because I just read it. But they chose to shut God out. And this is what the inside of the wall looks like. It's characterized by unbelief and rebellion. It's characterized by a refusal to submit to God's rule and reign through his designated leader. That's what it looks like. And it's this unbelief and rebellion that we see here that led to Jericho's destruction. And we know that because the reality is, you can only shut God out for so long. I mean, you can build the walls, you can try to push him back, but you only can do that for so long. Now, physically, that looks a bit different for us today, doesn't it? I mean, God isn't leading his people to engage in some physical battle with those who refuse to worship him. I mean, that's not what we're doing. That's not what we're about. Jesus tells us to love our enemies. So we're in a different period of redemptive history. So physically it looks different. However, spiritually it looks the same. You may not be building physical walls to kind of keep the people of God out and to keep God out of your life. But all of us at one time or another have put our hearts on lockdown, right? We've put our hearts on lockdown. All of us at one time or another have gone the way of unbelief and rebellion against God. We've sought to do our own thing. We've sought to worship what we wanted to worship rather than what we ought to worship, who we ought to worship. And as we sought to live how we wanted to live rather than how God wanted us to live. So we've all done that. We've all erected walls trying to shut God out of our lives. We've all been there. And this was the downfall of Jericho. And this will be our downfall as well. If we don't surrender to God's rule and reign through his designated leader, Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that there is a way that seems right to a man, but that in the end it leads to death. And so your wall of unbelief and rebellion, it may hold for many years to come. I mean, I don't know how old Jericho was, but they had walls for a while. And the same thing's true with all of us. We can build walls of unbelief and rebellion against God, and they'll hold for a while. But eventually, they will come down. Because one day, just like we read in the passage, just like the trumpet sounded and the people shouted on the seventh day after the seventh march around the city of Jericho. In a similar way, you know, the trumpet of God will sound, and a cry of command will come forth, and this same Jesus that ascended into heaven will return. But this time his eyes will be like fire. And he will come and he will tear down all the walls of the kingdoms of the world, and there will only be one kingdom that remains, and that is the kingdom of God. And the only way that we are able to enter that kingdom, that eternal kingdom, the kingdom of God, is by surrendering our lives to Christ. You know, I hope none of you all have or can identify with Jericho presently, that you're not shutting God out of your life, that you are not erecting walls of unbelief and rebellion. But when you look into your heart, and if you see that in fact you have shut God out of your life, then maybe this morning is your Rahab moment. I mean, you're hearing about who God is and what God has done through Jesus Christ for you and for me. And the question, what will you do? You have this same choice. You know, will you build up the walls of unbelief and rebellion, or will you open up the door of your heart and allow Christ to come in and reign in your life? You know, if you've never placed your faith in Christ, then I want to encourage you to take one of those next step cards in the pew in front of you. Maybe you've seen those. These next step cards will help you think through your next step. What is your next step? Is it to place your faith in Jesus? Is it to follow the Lord in baptism? Is it to join the church family? But primarily, I want you to think about coming to Christ. If you've never placed your faith in Christ, I want you to pay attention to that part of the card. Because like I said, you can erect walls of unbelief and rebellion for a time, but eventually you can never shut God out completely, because Christ will come back and that'll be it. Time will be up. And the only way you'll be found to be in God's kingdom is if you've surrendered to Christ before that day comes. And so I'd encourage you to take that step if you haven't placed your faith in Christ. And then let someone know about it. Tell somebody about it. Yeah, I'd love to hear about it. So share that with me. I'd love to hear that. So that's on one side of the wall. That's the perspective of Jericho. I mean, they were in rebellion against God. They refused to surrender to God's leader, Joshua, and therefore their walls were destroyed. So now let's consider the other side of the wall. Let's look at the wall from outside the city, from the perspective of the people of God. You know, for Joshua and the people of God, the wall represented a barrier between them and the promise of God. You know, before Joshua and the people made a move against Jericho, God told Joshua in verse 2, and the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and mighty men of valor." So God, he's telling Joshua, "I've already given you the city." But when Joshua and the people were looking at the city, they see a big wall. And so say, okay, you know, God's given us this city, but it's still fortified. There's still a barrier there. And so this is where faith comes in. You know, the people of God and Joshua, they must believe God's word here. Because God, you know, gives Joshua an unusual battle plan, right? It's kind of odd the way God says, move forward. You know, this is what I want you to do. For 6 days, march around the city, have the priest blow the trumpet, carry the Ark of the Covenant around. For 6 days, one time around each day. Then the seventh day, I want you to march around seven times. And then the priests are going to blow the trumpet for an extended period of time, and then you're going to shout real loud, and when you do that, the walls are going to fall down, you're going to go up in the city. Very unusual. And not only that, did you see in the passage how the people heard about this plan? It says God told Joshua, and then Joshua told the people. So can you imagine being Joshua? So, okay, I got a plan here. God's given me this plan. Here's what we're going to do. And you lay it out. And I'm sure, surely there's at least one person that said, are you serious? You know, is this really how we're going to do this? You're going to blow the trumpet, we're going to shout real loud. You know, bam, the wall's going to fall. I mean, I'm sure at least somebody was thinking, all right, well, okay. You know, I don't know about this, but, you know, if God said it, we're going to believe it. We're going to move forward by faith. And that's what they did. They trusted God's word that came through Joshua, and they moved forward and they marched around, and the walls did in fact fall, and they went up and took the city. And it says in verse 27 that the Lord was with Joshua, and the fame of Joshua spread throughout the land because of what God did. Now again, you know, how does this apply to us? Well, it's a bit different. You know, we're not rallying Christians to take over geographic locations. You know, we're not trying to do that. That's not the role of the church. But what he is calling us to do is to destroy not these physical strongholds of nations and cities and countries and whatnot, but he does call us to destroy spiritual strongholds. You know, the Apostle Paul says it this way in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. And perhaps he had this account in mind when he was saying this. But he says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh." In other words, we're not waging war the exact way Joshua did with the sword. But then he goes on to say, "For the weapons of our warfare," so we are in battle, "but our weapons are not of flesh, but they have divine power to destroy strongholds." So here it is. You know, like Joshua, we're called to destroy strongholds, you know, fortifications, walls, that, you know, and we're to do so by the power of God. Now the question is, what strongholds or walls are we to tear down? Well, Paul tells us in verse 5, he says, "We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ." So simply put, we're to do two things. One, we're to speak of who God is. Right? As thoughts rise up against the knowledge of God, we're to speak about who God is, truly. And then two, we're to seek to bring people into a saving knowledge of Christ. We're to take every thought captive to obey Christ. So we're to speak of who God is and point people to Christ and how they can know Him, walk with Him, obey Him. You know, this is the language of surrender. You know, we're to destroy these strongholds, these lofty opinions, so that every thought can be taken captive by Christ in obedience to Christ. In other words, we're to give people their own Rahab moment. I mean, that's what we're doing as the army of God today. That's what we're trying to do, is we're trying to give people their Rahab moment and challenge them. What will you do with it? Are you going to build walls of unbelief and rebellion? Or are you going to embrace God's designated leader, Jesus Christ, and surrender to His rule and reign in your life? And this is why we must tell them who God truly is, and then help them also to see that it's only through faith in Jesus Christ that they can be in a right relationship with God. You know, you may remember when you placed your faith in Christ, or whenever, you know, someone does place their faith in Christ, you know, the walls of unbelief and rebellion, they begin to crumble to faith. And when these walls of unbelief fall to the renewing power of faith in Christ, then the old city is then rebuilt, and its present glory is greater than the former, that city being your life. However, and the reason it's greater is because God is present with His people. He tells us that He is with us. And so this present life is greater than the former, because previously we were dead in sin, and now in Christ we have been remade, and we have the presence of God in our lives. And so the present glory is greater than the former. However, if faith never comes and the walls of unbelief remain, then one day, you know, the city will be destroyed and it'll never be rebuilt. And so if you've never placed your faith in Christ, then you need to respond to God. He's given you a Rahab moment. And so you don't need to let these moments pass you by. But for those of us who have faith in Jesus, we have a job to do, simply put. I mean, we are in an army. We are in a battle. We do have a mission. And we are to go into the world and help tear down these strongholds. And we don't do it with a physical sword, but we do it with the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And the way we do it is by talking to God about people, and talking to people about God. We talk to God about people. We pray for people. And then we talk to people about God. We tell people who God is and how to know Him through Christ. And so I wonder, you know, who could you pray for this week that doesn't know Christ? Who could you talk to God about this week who doesn't know Christ? Who could you share the gospel with this week? Who could you invite to church this week? Even by Wednesday or next Sunday, I mean, who could you invite to come with you? You know, as you think about that, as you're thinking about, okay, who could I pray for? Who could I share the gospel with? Who could I invite to come to learn more about who God is? That may be intimidating for you. You know, you may be thinking, I just don't know if I could do that. That's a scary idea of, you know, maybe sharing my faith with somebody or inviting someone to church or beginning to pray for somebody. I don't know if I can do that. And I think that's where we begin to relate to Joshua and the people as they look at the wall that they're facing, this fortified city. You know, if they were just thinking to themselves, I don't think we can do that. I mean, that's the whole point. You can't do that in your own strength. They must trust the Lord to do that. They must move forward by faith and trust God for the results. And we're in the same situation in what God's calling us to do. You know, He's calling us to move forward in His mission, to tear down these strongholds of unbelief, to help people come to know who Christ is and to embrace Him by faith. And we are to move forward by faith, trusting God for the results. And so we have a lot in common with Joshua and the people of that day. We are both to move forward in faith. We can't get over these barriers, these strongholds in our own strength. And I do believe that as we take these steps of faith, as you begin to move forward in faith and move out into the mission of God that He's calling us to move out into, that God will be with us, just like God was with Joshua. And I love that verse in verse 27. He says, you know, the fame of Joshua spread throughout the land. Well, who's our Joshua? Jesus. You know, He's the leader of the Lord's army. He's the king. And so our goal is we want to move forward by faith. We want to pray for people. We want to share the gospel with people. We want to love people. We want to help people have those Rahab moments so that the fame of Jesus can spread throughout the city. Let us pray. Father, that's our desire. Lord, we want to move forward by faith, trusting Your word. Even though at times it may be intimidating, we may be fearful. These barriers that we face may be, we may wonder, how in the world could we ever get over those barriers or get through those barriers? But Lord, You call us to trust You. You call us to move forward with You and to trust You with the results that You will give us what we need to move forward by faith. Lord, thank You that You've given us Your Spirit to empower us. Thank You that You've given us Your Word. And thank You for our city, the city of Augusta, and all the people here. And we just pray that we would have opportunities, even this week, to pray for people, to talk to people about who You are and how they can come to know You, that we can give people those Rahab moments. And I pray that as we do, that the fame of Jesus would spread in this city. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.